My guest David Atkins is the writer and director of the current film Novocaine. It's a satire of film noir. Steve Martin stars as a suburban dentist who lives in a very clean, orderly, insular world. Everything is kept in order by his dental hygienist, to whom he is engaged to be married. She's played by Laura Dern. Soon his world is in chaos, and he's set up to take the fall for a murder. The trouble begins when a beautiful patient, played by Helena Bonham Carter, walks in the door, insisting she needs a prescription for painkillers for her abscessed tooth. The somewhat dubious dentist offers to fix her tooth immediately, but she declines while insisting on the prescription. Soon after giving it to her, he gets a call from the pharmacist.
Dr. Sangster.
Hiya, Doc. Wayne Ponce, Lincoln Pharmacy. Got a script here. Name's Susan Ivy. She yours?
Yeah, that's right. Script for Demerol.
Fine. Hang on.
Thanks.
Whoa. She's a looker, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Well, good night.
By the way, 50 tabs is way over the limit. Next time, I won't fill it.
You mean 5?
No, I mean 50. That's what it said. Demerol, 50.
Put her on a minute, would you?
She's gone.
Well, if she's gone, Wayne, why are you calling me to check on a prescription?
Look, friend, I've got a business to run here. So while you were yammering, I rang her up. Now, if you've got a problem, you better tell me so I can call the authorities.
No, no problem. Good night.
David Atkins, the writer and director of Novocaine, is the son of a dentist, and his two brothers are dentists. He did research for the screenplay by working undercover at his father's office. I asked him if he met any patients who were really con artists looking for painkillers.
I was there for a month. I met between 6 and 8, depending on whether the last two were real or not. And they would basically do what you see Helena's character in the movie do, which was basically come in with an open or abscessed tooth that needed immediate attention. And they'd say something like, you know, well, I'm in very much pain here. Can you help me out? And so my dad would say, well, yeah, we can get you in, take care of this root canal this afternoon or maybe tomorrow. And they'd say, no, I can't. I have an appointment or whatever, and I can't make it till next week. Can you give me a script for something? And then typically the dentist, in, you know, my dad's case, he wouldn't go for it for the most part. And one final thing, these teeth are like the bait for the drug. So if by accident they are forced to get them fixed or capped or a temporary anything, they just pull it right out again. It's tragic, you know. There's a certain tragic quality to the whole thing. But when you become addicted, you need the stuff. And I think at first you're playing with it, but you know, Helena's type of character, I mean, moving from town to town and scoring drugs off of physicians, that's a pretty serious thing. It's no longer a fun situation anymore.
Now, did you bring Steve Martin to your father's office so he could learn to look like a dentist?
Well, my dad and my brothers were actually consultants on the film, and they were there on the set. There was always one Atkins, Dr. Atkins, to help Steve or Laura. And the amazing thing about Steve and Laura is they just, you know, I'd say, okay, John, you got 3 minutes to show Steve a root canal. And in 3 minutes, my brother would sit down, go through the thing. Then Steve would sit down and just have every move perfect. It was amazing to watch. And both of the actors were spectacular at that technique.
Now, the standard look of classic film noir is darkness and shadows. Your movie is set in a suburban dentist's office, so you have fluorescent lights and very clean-looking white walls. And, you know, Steve Martin and his associates are walking around in white dental uniforms. So you've got all this, like, brightness and whiteness. How did you work with that? What did you want to get from that?
The first caveat I had about making the film was just do everything opposite from what the genre dictates, and the shadows and the darkness, so on. Well, I've seen that a million times. I wanted to make a noir that was going against that to a certain extent, and that applies to everything that I did, many of my decisions, most of them. But I had an image in my head of how this film should go, and it started off in bright white light. But it's a very artificial and sterile white light. And, you know, it was a graphic image in my head before I started the script. I saw this white light and then a spiral, almost a DNA helix, spiraling downwards and getting darker, more progressively darker, until it becomes a noose around this little sort of a two-dimensional graphic of a man's neck. You know, a man is there in this picture in my head, and the spiral comes down and strangles him like a noose. And then he climbs out somehow of this spiral that's now going up like a ladder, and it's getting brighter and brighter. And at the end of the film, or at the end of this diagram, suddenly we're in bright, beautiful light again, but now it's natural. And so that was sort of a metaphor for the arc of the character.
Well, what about the genre of film noir speaks to you in the first place?
I love the gritty quality. When I was a teen and in my 20s, I was looking for that world. I was attracted to it. I still am. I think everybody is. You know, what would have happened if I had taken a left turn instead of a right with my life? And, you know, I mean, when I was younger, I was definitely involved in petty crime as a goof, like I think a lot of kids are. And it gave me a rush, and it was exciting to me. I find myself drawn to people who are, you know, down and out. I find that they are very interesting. You know, in New York City, we don't see them as much anymore, but the homeless people lying on a bench in the subway, and I always would go by them, look out the window as I'm shooting off into the darkness and think, how did they get there? You know, that's intriguing to me.
There's a website for your movie Novocaine, and on the website you have a few quotes, and one of them is that you say you've always had this fear of accidentally killing somebody. Tell me more about this fear.
I kind of color myself to be, I'm interested in all the bad people, and, you know, I have a wife and a baby, and, you know, I go about my life, and so I'm not trying to necessarily get to back to my criminal roots or anything like that. It's just, it's good for drama sometimes. It's the wrong man idea. It's what happens specifically in things like The Wrong Man, Hitchcock's film. Henry Fonda's just a bass player, and all of a sudden he gets fingered, he's the wrong guy, and suddenly he's in the system. What would happen if, you know, I think to myself, what would happen if I accidentally, you know, somebody confronted me and it was a do-or-die situation and I was sitting there grappling for my life and then, you know, I got the upper hand, dead is the guy that, you know, and now there's a dead man and suddenly either I'm on the run or I'm in the system. And it's a scary thought that just a tiny moment can suddenly send your life in the completely opposite direction than you had planned. You know, some people have fear of spiders or snakes or darkness or heights. This is kind of my fear, and I play with it.
Did you ever come close to having that nightmare actually happen, where you felt that you were in danger of accidentally killing somebody, either in a fight or even just losing attention while you were behind the wheel of your car?
I'd say absolutely, you know, both. I'm out of the fighting game now because I'm terrible at it. But I came from Boston during this particular time, and I grew up with two older brothers. And I guess, you know, growing up, I was taught you just don't back down from a fight. You can't back down. And so I found myself in situations occasionally where it was just, you know, it's sudden and it's violent and it's frightening and it's either you or him. And most often, quite frankly, it was me. But the last time I ever duked it out was in the mid-90s in L.A., and it was frightening and scary. And it gets to a point where it's, you know, you got to say, whoa, okay, we'll leave this to the younger people here. And driving, you're tired. You've been on the road for 10 hours. You're in Des Moines, and you're lost, and you're looking for numbers and stuff like that. It could just accidentally happen, and bang, you're in a whole different situation.
If you're just joining us, my guest is David Atkins, and he wrote and directed the new film Novocaine. It's a parody, it's a satire of film noir, and it stars Steve Martin. Now, I understand that you gave some of the actors prosthetic teeth to wear to alter their look. Who did you give that to?
Helena and Laura each had prosthetic teeth, and this was in keeping with the idea of making them diametrically opposed. Laura is all about the surface, and she's a very, you know, it's about superficial aspects or qualities initially, is how I was envisioning it. Therefore, not a hair out of place, color-coordinated outfits, including, you know, the purse and the shoes. And the teeth had to be perfect. So we went with the Farrah Fawcett, Charlie's Angels look. With Helena, we went in the opposite direction, although a little bit too subtly, quite frankly. She came in with some teeth from London that her dentist made, and they were Planet of the Apes teeth, basically. They were just too much, and it was gonna make the whole movie really goofy. So we kind of, you know, went through a little argument period, because she loved her goofy ape teeth, and finally backed it off, and I think too much. But they're crooked, they're chipped, and they're discolored, her teeth.
Have you always been very conscious of teeth because your father's a dentist?
I have, yeah. I mean, I was interested and attracted to and titillated by the idea of a dentist who is attracted to a patient with asymmetrical dentition, you know, a chip, or, you know, I find personally a space between the front teeth really sexy. So we couldn't do that, really. It was harder to do with prosthetics. So we did the chip in the tooth. But the idea of a dentist who's trying to achieve perfection dentally, and yet he's attracted to somehow almost a morbid fascination with a chip in, a tiny chip in a front tooth.
David Atkins wrote and directed the film noir satire Novocaine, starring Steve Martin. Atkins also plays drums on the soundtrack with the band Penny.
Remember that party back in 95? You walked in on the arm of another guy. We said, hello, how you doing? Fine. Where's my coat? Gotta go. Yeah, it's time to drive. The past can't be buried. The truth can't hide. This deep-breath, splendid season is the highlight of a tortured life. I stumble, I'm reeling, I realize I'm bleeding. The meaning shows up, there's a spot on my favorite tie.
This is Fresh Air.